Let us now start in the message. This is a third part, Yeshua's upon the last days. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 24, and beginning in verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. But whoever holds out to the end will be delivered. And this is the good news about the kingdom, that it will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the nations. It is then that the end will come. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken about through the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand the allusion. That will be the time for those in Judah to escape to the hills. If someone is up on the roof, he must not go down to gather his belongings for his house, from his house. If someone is in the field, he must turn back, not back to get his coat. What a terrible time it will be for a pregnant woman and nursing mothers. Pray that you will not have to escape in the winter or on Shabbat, for there will be trouble then worse than there has ever been from the beginning of the world until now. And there will be nothing like it again. Indeed, if the length of the time had not been limited, no one would survive. But for the sake of those who have been chosen, its length has now been limited. At that time, if someone says to you, look here, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe him. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets, performing great miracles and amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if it were possible. There I have told you now in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he's out in the desert, don't go. Or look, he is hidden away here in the secret room, don't believe it. For the Son of Man does come. For when the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. Wherever there's a dead body, that's where you will find the vultures. But immediately following these trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark. The moon will stop shining. The stars will fall from the sky. And the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. Think of that. It's going to be undeniable for all those who are on the earth. And I've heard many, many people speak on, well, we're in the tribulation now. And the Lord's going to return at any moment. Well, Yeshua's own words. Has the sun been blackened out? No. Has the moon turned red and it's no longer reflecting the light of the sun? Absolutely not. Are not the stars still in the sky? Yes. And you see, people at times, what do? They merchandise the good news. They sell you books, and they'll have bits and pieces about what the scripture says, right? But how many people have heard this? From this time up to this time, okay? It is said in Rav Shaul's day, he had to write a second book to the Thessalonians. Why? Because they heard these words being shared with them. Not in first person. Why? Because Paul was not even there. He was not even one of the original 12. And so they were fully convinced, because Nero was persecuting believers throughout the whole Middle East, that the Lord was now about to come. Okay? And think about this. The temple was still there, the second temple. It had not been destroyed. And Paul had to write a letter, and he said, why are you doing this? You know what they did? They quit their jobs. Some of them sold their homes, and they went and they sat on the hills. And they were just worshiping the Lord and waiting for him to return because they knew it was very, very close. They stopped doing what the Father had asked them to do. And what was that? To share the good news. Because if you look in the prior portion of Scripture here, what does it say? That the good news of the gospel, that no matter what tribe, what nation you come from, you can come to know Messiah. And if you confess your sins to him, he will forgive them. And he will apply his own blood upon the sins of your life. And you will be pure and holy. And he will give you his salvation, which is himself. So now looking back at Matthew 29:30. This scripture here, and I'll read it to you. Because you know what? Yeshua is speaking to a people who have never read the book of Matthew. Why? It has not been written yet. And so Matthew 24:29. Yep, not a problem. Matthew 24:29. And so what Yeshua is doing here is that he knows this. Just as the great comforter that is dwelling within him, the great comforter is now bringing to their minds at this point these scripture verses, and here they are. Not Matthew through Revelation, but Genesis through Malachi. And so the scripture of reference that would be here in Matthew 24:29 is this, and I'll read that portion here. The stars will fall from the sky, okay? And the powers, the sun and the moon in the heaven, the universe, will be shaken. So what is the scripture that the Spirit of living God brings before their eyes? That is this, Isaiah, which is Yeshayahu 34. The whole host, which is the sun of the heavens, will decompose. And the heavens, the universe themselves, will be rolled up like a scroll. And their array, that is their light and their glory, will wither away like a withering grape leaf that falls from the vine on a withered fig from a fig tree. Another verse that would come before their eyes would be Haggai 2:6. For this is what Adonai Zavaoth, or the Lord of hosts, says. It won't be long before one more time that I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I, Adonai, will shake the heavens and the earth. Now going back to Matthew 24:30, he continues in this portion. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land of Israel will mourn. Okay? Now, the 12 tribes were not all there in the land at that time. Why? Because the northern kingdom was taken away. And so what Yeshua is prophesying to them this, that sometime in the future, during the time of the great tribulation, those 10 tribes, the offspring of those 10 tribes, will re-enter the land. Okay? Otherwise, he said the tribe of Benjamin and the tribes of Judah only. But here, what does he say? He says the tribes. Okay? And that's the Lord will do. Okay? He will do that in his own timing. All right? So that is yet another sign to us. And the tribes of what? The tribes of the land. Now, there are many tribes of many people who live in various lands throughout the whole earth. What is he speaking of here? But the 12 tribes of Israel. The land there is the land of Israel. And what will they be doing? They will be mourning, okay? They will be renting their garments, and they'll be crying in distress. And where does the Spirit of the living God place before their eyes at this point? These 12 Talmudim? But the book of Zechariah 12:10 through 14. And this is what it says in Zechariah 12:10 through 14. It refers to the day when the people of Israel will mourn over God the Messiah. Because what is happening now? The sun has been blackened. The moon is now red. It does not shine. All the stars of the heaven have fallen. But now what do they see in the sky? But Messiah, Yeshua, coming before them. And he's coming close. Why? Because now they can see that his wrists are pierced and so are his feet. Okay? This is not an optical illusion for them. They simply recognize. And what are they moved to do? But to mourn. Why? Because let's go see what the scripture says here. This refers to the day when the people of Israel will mourn over the God, the Messiah, who was pierced, as they would mourn over their own firstborn. And John 19 through 37 says this, and when that day comes, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. Why? Because the promised Messiah has come. But they see that he is fulfilled what the scriptures say, in that he's coming before them pierced. So continuing here, in Matthew 24, part B of verse 30. And they, the people of Israel, will see the Son of Man, the Messiah, coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. Okay? So what is the scripture reference for them right now? Okay? It is Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. So these are the scriptures that are coming before their eyes. And the hearts of its Talmudim are now being opened up. Because this is what God's word does. When a prophetic word is being laid out, what it does is it fitly joins together with another prophetic word. All God's prophets' words that they shared were not of their own accord, of their own thought, their own design, or their own opinion. It was a literal word of God. And that's what we're built upon, is a literal word of God. And so what Yeshua is doing is he's giving them now new revelation, new prophecy, that it fitly joins together. As you would building a house and using field stone, you would either shape the stone itself, or you would maneuver it so it would fit into place, so it could join with another stone here. And that's what Yeshua is doing here. So now let us look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. I, Daniel, kept the night's visions. And when I saw coming with the clouds of heaven, someone like the Son of Man. Okay? And what did Yeshua say? The Son of Man is coming here in Matthew 24. And he approached the Ancient One. Who's the Ancient One? But Abba, Father God. And he was led into his presence. To him, the Son of Man, who is the Messiah, was given rulership and glory and a kingdom, so that all the peoples and all the nations and all the languages would serve him. His, who is Messiah's rulership, is an eternal rulership that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So you know what's happening now in the hearts and the minds of this Talmudim? They're now recognizing Yeshua even a greater way, that he truly is the Messiah, because he's the only one that can fulfill these prophecies here. Now going to Matthew 24:31. He, who is Messiah, will send out his angels with a great shofar. Okay? Blowing the shofar. It's a call to worship, is it not? It's also a call to battle. It's a call of war, warning to the people, right? It's a cause for celebration. It's a cause of worshiping Adonai, our God, all right? And it says this in Matthew 24:31. He, Messiah, will send out his angels. Notice that. These angels have been assigned to him, given to him by the Father. And with the great shofar, and they, his angels, will gather his chosen people, who are whom? Israel, from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other. And what is the scripture reference in this? So that they know that this word, this prophecy he's saying is true. But Isaiah 27:13. And this is what it says in Isaiah 27:13. And these are the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is bringing before to remembrance. Why? Because as these young men, these 12 Talmudim, what did they do? They spent time in the synagogue doing what? Meditating on the Torah. All right? The Torah and the prophets. And so this is what came to them. The Spirit of Living God brought back into there. That's why it's very, very important for all believers to meditate and to memorize Scripture. On that day, a great shofar will sound. Those lost in the land of Ashur, which is Assyria, will come, and those also scattered throughout the land of Egypt. They will worship Adonai on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. And the shofar, just to give you a little bit more information, it truly is a ram's horn. Because I know some of you may be listening on the podcast that are not here in the assembly, and that word is a brand new word to you, all right? The shofar is an equal to a trumpet, but it's made out of ram's horn, and it is blown on Shabbat and at the season of the high holy days, up to 100 times on Rosh Hashanah, which is New Year's, Jewish New Year's alone that one day. It is also during the Feast of Trumpets, and once at the end of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Judaism also understands that the Day of Judgment will be announced by blasts on the shofar. And when Adonai descended upon Mount Sinai, what did they hear? But blasts of a very loud shofar. And what did our people do? They trembled. They said to Moshe, "You go. We'll stay here, and anything he tells you, we will do and we will obey." So going forward, Matthew 24, 32. "Now let the fig tree," and what is the fig tree but the Jewish people, the nation, "teach you its lesson. When its branches begin to sprout and its leaves appear, you know that summer is approaching." On to verse 33. "In the same way, when you see all these things," notice that. What are those things? The third temple, the abomination that leads to desolation, the sun becoming black, the moon turning red and no longer shining, and all the stars falling from heaven. Okay? None of these have taken place. He's saying now when you see these things, and also the rebudding of the fig tree, okay, you are to know that the time is near, that Messiah actually coming down the second time is right at the door. Verse 34, "Yes, I tell you that this people, whom the Jewish people, will certainly not pass away before all these things happen." What does that mean? It means this, that there will be a nation of Israel, and who shall have the power over Jerusalem but the Jewish people, and there will be a third temple here. So replacement theology is a lie from the pit of hell. Continuing, Yeshua now is guaranteeing that the Jews will persist as a people until his second coming and beyond. Yeshua is echoing the promise of Jeremiah, which is Jeremiah 31, 34 through 36. And this is what it says. This is what Adonai says, who gives the sun as light for the day, who ordained the laws of the moon and the stars to provide light for the night, who stirs up the sea and the waves to roar. Adonai Zavaoth, the Lord of hosts, is his name. If these laws leave my presence, says Adonai, then the offspring of Israel will stop being a nation in my presence forever. So have any of these things happened? Absolutely not. And so the Jewish people are still his chosen people. But you who are from afar, from the other nations, you're what? You're grafted in. Co-heirs of Israel. Let's move forward. This is what Adonai says. If the sky can be measured and the foundations of the earth be fathomed, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, says Adonai. Thus, after proclaiming the Brit Hadashah, which is the new covenant, in Jeremiah goes on to say in Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, Adonai immediately states that the Jewish people will last at least as long as the sun and the moon and the stars and beyond. Both Yeshua and Jeremiah refute replacement theology. Jeremiah 31, 30 through 33 says this, "Here are the days are coming," says Adonai, "when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda," which is Judah. And know this, when he's speaking of the house of Israel, who's he speaking of? But the 10 lost tribes. He will restore them back to the fold of Israel, but it'll be in his timing, in his ways. It will not be man's. Just like he rose up, what? The nation of Israel in yet one day, in May 14th, 1948. So continuing here. It will not be like the covenant I made with your fathers on the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant. Even though for my part, was a husbandman to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel in that days. He's making the house of Israel and Judah as one again. It's going to no longer be a divided kingdom. So continuing here. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother. Has that happened today? No. We're still encouraging and training and teaching our brothers who do not know Messiah. Continuing here. To know Adonai, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. These are key words that we can live by in Messiah Yeshua. Matthew 24:36. But when that day and hour will come, no one knows, but not even the angels in heaven, but not the Son either. Only the Father knows. For the Son of Man will be coming, will be just as it was in the days of Noah. Verse 38. Back then, before the flood, the people went on eating and drinking and taking wives and becoming wives right up to the days of Noah entered the ark. See, people were focused on what? Their own plans. Matthew 24:39. And they didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. It will be just like that when the Son of Man comes. Then there will be two men in a field. One will be taken and the other left behind. And there will be two women grinding at the flour mill. One will be taken and the other left behind. On to verse 42 of Matthew 24. So stay alert. Are we staying alert? Are we so focused on all these other idols in our lives? Are they taking the place of Yeshua in our lives? Continuing here. Because you don't know when the day your Lord will come. But you do know this. Had the owner of the house known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. What is he saying to us? Be vigilant at all times. Verse 44, therefore you must be ready, you. And who's to make you ready? Yourself. For the Son of Man, the Messiah, will come when you're not expecting him. So you know what is that he's telling us to do? Be about the Father's business, as you've seen me be about the Father's business. Be so focused on that. Don't be worried about the signs of the times and the wonders that are going on in the sky and what's going around you. Be focused on what? But sharing the good news with the nations. So continuing here faithfully. Who is faithful, verse 25, and sensible servant, whose master puts him in charge of the household staff to give them their food? And what is the food? The word of God, the Bible, at the proper time. Verse 46, it will go well with that servant if he is found doing his job when the master comes. Yes, I tell you that he will put him in charge of all he owns. But if the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is taking his time, and he starts beating up his fellow servants. Now, who is Yeshua talking to? He's talking about leadership, leaders in the Messianic community. You're not to take advantage of your brothers and sisters. Continuing here. And if he starts beating up his fellow servants and spends his time eating and drinking with the drunkards, Then his master will come on a day the servant does not expect, at a time he does not know. So what he's saying here, do not become self-centered. Matthew 24:51, and he, the master, will cut him in two and put him with the hypocrites, the false believers, where they will wail and they will grind their teeth. I looked the word in the Greek and the Hebrew, and it says cut in two, but this is what it's speaking of. He will be scourged until his flesh is cut. He was also cut off from all his privileges and responsibilities. He will be punished severely. He will become a hypocrite over time and would join the company of hypocrites. Instead of the faithful servant, there would be remorse for those who are eternally separated from God. Is not Yeshua when he comes? That's another parable where it states this. It is he that will separate whom? The sheep and the goats. And it blew my mind the very first time I read that passage of your scripture. When the goat says to him this, but Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal? Did we not do miracles? And he says to them, depart from me, for I do not know you. So in that scripture, does that mean that it's possible for a believer to walk away from the presence of Yeshua, having intimate relationship with him, and to go after idols in his or her own life? And who comes in? But the angel of light, who has power and authority. And if you look at the scriptures here, what does it say? It says this, that Yeshua tells them to flee out of Judah. Why? Because the one who's put in power temporarily is the anti-Messiah. He's actually, his false prophet is able to go before an image. And the image comes to life. And there are demonic miracles that are being produced. So if you look that in correlation, what Yeshua is doing when he's separating the sheep and the goats, and they're shocked because they say, we prophesied in your name. We healed the sick. We wrought many miracles in your name. And Yeshua says to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. What does that told me as a young believer? Don't follow signs. Don't follow miracles. Do not follow healings. But follow Yeshua and do what he's called you to do. If miracles come, if healings come, if deliverance come, it's to the glory of God the Father and not me. What are you building your ministry on? What is your testimony built on? Is it your intimacy with Yeshua? That people, when they see you, they desire what is within you? And that is your relationship with Yeshua, the peace that passes all understanding. So let us finish very quickly here. Yeshua expects believers to be doing his work in his way when he comes. No other way. We're not here on this earth to build our own kingdoms. So wrapping up completely now. We are to show our allegiance to Adonai because we fear the cost of being separated and not walking in great devotion. If we allow God to speak with us, we might actually have to do what he says, and that's a good thing. So we do not do the things that we hear him say for us to do. And it's of our own choice. We are to what? We're to die to our own self and allow Messiah to live his life in and through us. Because God has sent to us whom? The Spirit of the living God. The one that says this, that he takes the sword of the Word of God and he divides what? Joint and marrow. The spirit and the flesh. And there is nothing can be hidden before his eyes. And that's why the Lord desires for me and for you to take what? Inventory. and allow the Spirit of living God to speak the truth to us. For He truly is the guardian over our own souls. And I ask you this question. When was the last time that you heard the Spirit of the living God speaking to you? Shabbat Shalom.